Riley is considered to strongly resemble former Degrassi character Dylan Michaelchuk, but he shares similarities with Dylan's ex-boyfriend Marco Del Rossi. That's so funny. He shares similarities with Dylan too. He doesn't share any similarities with Marco except the fact that they're both gay. Did these people forget that Dylan's also gay?
In every relationship, there's the gay one and the other one.
And the other one. And that gay person's love interest.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not gay. I'm just a gay person's love interest.
No, Mom, you don't understand. I'm not gay. My boyfriend is gay. I'm just his love interest.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the podcast where we go absolutely cuckoo bananas over our favorite characters from Degrassi The Next Generation. I'm Keely Bell, and you can join me every week with a special guest to talk about how these characters did whatever it takes and how exactly they made it through.
Welcome back. This is Cuckoo Bananas! Exclamation point, a Degrassi colon The Next Generation podcast. I'm your host, Keely Bell, and today I am joined with...
Daniel Herman.
Hell yeah. I almost said hello, and then I started saying hell
yeah. Hello yeah.
Hell yo. Hell yo.
Gruel.
Gruel. We saw Mean Girls last week.
We sure did.
It was fun.
I had fun.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. It was weird at some points. Like, why'd they make Angouri Rice go all the way down in Revenge Party like that?
I think that Angouri Rice gets a bad rap. I don't like her in this film.
No.
But I don't think that's her fault.
It's certainly not her fault. Like, I can't even watch when she touches his hair, and I watched a snake eat a cow.
Well, also, I watched a video, a TikTok about it, and she's singing on a third.
Yes, I saw that.
And I'm like,
it's a harmony.
Why did we have her sing a harmony when no one's singing melody?
Exactly.
That's not how songs work.
That's not how songs work.
So, baby, you're supposed to sing melody. I'm like, she could hit it.
We'll get our party now.
Well, except, and here's the thing. On the screen, she's singing it like live or whatever, and she's hitting the notes in not an auto-tuned way.
Yeah.
And then all these audios we're getting is, we get our party now.
Oh, God.
And it's worse. It's actively worse.
Yes.
So, which means whoever's in charge of the sound mixing for the soundtrack requires an education.
Death. They also cut, I was actually listening to the soundtrack on the way to, oh, we need to discuss what happened today. But I was listening to the soundtrack in the car, and they cut out the beginning of Sexy, the best part. Yeah. If I could change the world, I'd make it Halloween. It only starts with, if I could change the world, I'd make us have world peace. And I'm like, no, you took the joke out. But we need to tell the listener what happened to us today.
Okay, so... we are no longer roommates.
We are no longer roommates. I moved out weeks ago.
Yes. I am living in my own filth.
Mm-hmm.
And by my own filth, I mean boxes and various other tissues.
Just boxes and tissues.
Yeah. We're not questioning where that is.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, she being this podcast host, is like, hey, are you free to record this week? And I was like, okay, let's do tomorrow. Let's do Tuesday. Yay. And so like, cool. Want to say like five? Yeah, cool. Cool. And so I get in my car and I'm like, all right, I'm going to drive to this bitch's new house and we're going to record this podcast. And then what did you think?
And then I was like, okay, yeah, we're going to record the podcast Tuesday at five. And I'm going to drive to the old place and bring the podcast equipment and record like we normally do on the couch. And so when 4:30 rolled around, we both got in our cars and started driving to the other person's home.
Yes.
This is how bad we are at not living together.
Yeah. And she sent her little text, I'm on my way. Mm-hmm. And I read it as I'm parking in front of her place and I go, oh dear, we've made a mistake.
And we're really lucky that I am chronically late and you're chronically early or right on time.
Yeah. And so I send her two texts. I'm like, she's in the car. Mm-hmm. Call her. And so I call her, and her the first words out of her mouth are, I fear we've made a mistake. In her best Angori rice bass tone.
Yes.
I fear we've made a mistake. And I am cackling.
Yes, yes.
I didn't say a single word on that phone call. All you did was, I think I'm going to turn around.
Yeah. It was a very funny moment. Like, I talked to my mom in the car on the way back, and I explained the thing. And she was like, oh, that's cute. And I was like, yes, it is. This is how bad we are at not being roommates. We can't coordinate shit.
Well, because here's the thing. We're just so used to, oh, yeah, well, we know where to go.
Yeah.
Where else would we go? Now there are two places to go.
Now I have to, like, ask you, like, where do we meet up? Which is crazy.
That's bananas.
So that's where we're at.
Yeah. Well, once I have an apartment.
Mm-hmm. A new apartment.
An apartment that I moved into and not living in, you know, out of boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I never want to drive anywhere.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It'll probably just show up to my apartment.
Yeah, that'll be great.
I'll put Michael in the closet.
That'll be lovely. Yeah, that's where Ezra's at right now.
Yeah.
What else is new in our lives? What's new with you?
I went on a bad date like mm-hmm. 2 days ago. He did nothing wrong. He just did nothing interesting, which is somehow worse.
Yeah. What's the phrase? Like, isn't it like hate isn't the opposite of love? It's
apathy
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, yeah. Yeah. There's nothing much interesting. I'm just waiting to actually, you know, move into this apartment.
Right.
And the building manager is, I want to say employed by the devil, but okay. I believe the devil would have more fun.
Oh, certainly.
At least more interesting things, because she's just pushed this move-in date back twice.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. Crazy ridiculous. That was when we were supposed to record a few weeks ago before I went to Mexico.
Yeah.
And then that happened like the day of, and I was like, oh, okay, well, we're not recording today.
Yeah. Crazy energy.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then I just got cast in two shows in 48 hours.
She's booked and blessed.
I'm booked and busy. I'm very excited. I'm going to be doing the same show that I was supposed to do before COVID.
Yeah.
In a different part, a part that I like much better.
Yeah.
And I don't think I told you, there was another girl at Callbacks who was really good for Norma. And so I was like, oh, good. Mm. I think hopefully Marshall will see this and see that she should be that part and not me, because she was really good. She does also run into the issue of being really young for the part, unfortunately. So I hope she doesn't feel how I felt about getting that role. But her voice is so much better suited for it. She's got just this big, beautiful voice. So I'm excited for that. And then I got cast in a show that I can't talk about yet.
Ooh. I was scrolling through TikTok, and TikTok is advertising role plays on Discord.
No.
Yeah.
The Discord people are paying to get their ads on TikTok.
No, it wasn't ads. It was just someone posting from their account saying, hey, we have an open role play. Oh,
that makes more sense to me.
And I'm like, how am I receiving this content?
And not me.
I shouldn't be having this.
Yeah. Well, it's maybe because you're D&D.
What I'm about to say is problematic.
Okay.
I feel like D&D and role-playing on your Discord server, they're two completely separate mediums.
They are, but I can see like a lot of the language and verbiage might come through in your texts and your thing, your algorithm or whatever listens to you and goes, oh, this might be interesting for them.
Valid. And like, no one who role plays would ever play D&D, but, and that was me being sarcastic.
I know.
It's fine.
He's joking about this because I just, I joined a a couple's D&D campaign. Let's see how long it lasts. But
the phrase, I joined a couple's D&D campaign, I know. That's the funniest thing to me.
I know.
Of all of it. And like, and here's the thing. I hope it goes well. I hope it's so fun. I hope it's just a silly, goofy little game mm-hmm. that lasts for 3 months and you go, oh my God, wasn't that fun? Mm-hmm. I joined a couple's D&D game does sound like a horror film.
It really does. And I like hate that I am this person now. Now that I like live with a partner, we go to couples D&D. I am not defined by my relationship. I need hobbies.
You have hobbies.
I have hobbies. I have hobbies.
You do. You were just cast into one of your hobbies.
That's so true. That's so true. But yeah.
You're just a creative and you're also dating a creative, which means you're creating.
We're creating together.
Mm-hmm.
Then I pull out a positive pregnancy test.
I also pull out a positive pregnancy test.
We're creatives.
We're creatives. We're
constantly creating. And it's like said with like a sinister, we're constantly creating. And then it's just like popping children out of your holes.
Just a baby coming out of your nostril. Just
constantly creating. Okay.
The opposite of war isn't peace.
it's creation. Okay, guys. We know why we're here.
Yeah.
This has been
a long time coming.
We've been waiting for this since the year of our Lord, 2020. Deep in the crevices of the COVID pandemic. We were like, one day we're going to have to do a Riley Stavros episode.
And that day is finally come.
The day is today. And we're very excited because why are we really excited to do Riley, Daniel?
Because Riley Stavros ruined my life.
Yes.
Riley Stavros is the reason why I'm not only bad with men, I'm bad. I'm bad with women. I'm bad with non-binary people.
Riley Stavros is the reason I'm bad with storytelling.
I need you to know something. In order to prepare for this, I really meant to watch at least an episode of Degrassi starring Riley Stavros, mm-hmm. and then I promptly didn't. And instead, what I did
smart
was. I watched some of the fan edits on YouTube that I used to watch when I was 16 years old. They're still there. And let me tell you something. Watching a video that says posted 13 years ago really rewires something.
It really does.
Because that was 13 years ago when they posted that fan edit of Riley and Zane bumping into each other a bunch of times.
Oh my God.
And the way I became a schoolgirl, the way I kicked my little feet up and just and like and that's really what this is unfortunately Riley got me right at the time where I was ass deep in puberty.
Yeah.
And so he's just the one I trauma bonded to.
Yeah.
Most people did that with Marco. Most people like had that experience with Marco's side of things. And, you know, I totally get that. I understand mm-hmm. that. I respect and support you. Riley is just who I got.
Mm-hmm. I would also say that the people who got that with Marco are older than us.
Yeah.
And they got to watch Marco's journey in real time. Yeah. We didn't get to watch Marco. We had to seek out Marco's journey.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
But even like Degrassi fans our age are like, oh yeah, obviously Marco, like Riley is
right.
a loser. And like, but here's I'm speaking my truth.
Mm-hmm.
Every gay who has a toxic relationship with men and masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
were personally victimized by Riley Elizabeth Stavros.
Yes, yes, they were. Yes, they were. We thought that Zeus was the only Greek man that ruined multiple lives. No, it's Riley Stavros. He's our own personal Zeus.
You never see the two of them together.
You never see the two of them together. And, you know, honestly, that does kind of fit for Riley because he has, like, ruined the lives of many women.
Yeah.
He didn't ruin any lives. Some would say that he improved them.
Look, if Riley had never met Fiona, we would never have a gay man and a lesbian being the worst.
We would never have a gay man and a lesbian ending up in a relationship with each other and then instantly being like, this is wrong, but we don't know why. Well, he knew why. Fiona didn't know why.
Somewhere deep in Fiona's bone, she's like, I feel like we should be together in different contexts.
Yeah.
Maybe a meeting of some sort.
A club.
A parade, maybe.
That's great. That's so funny. But yeah, so how would you describe Riley's arc in three sentences?
Riley Stavros is above all else a menace.
Okay.
Period. Okay. He is an athlete perpetually trapped in a closet of his own silly Greek design.
He's got an atrium.
It's made of marble. He loves, he loses, he loves again, and proceeds to eventually find his way out of the closet at the end of his arc.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of his time in this series, he finally maybe decides to come out to his dad. And that hasn't been confirmed.
Nope. He.
Period.
Period. Yeah. Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. Riley Stavros started his time on the show in the closet and on the football team, period. He went on a journey in which he did the hokey pokey in and out of the closet so many times, I cannot keep track, period. Eventually, he kind of came to terms with his sexuality and graduated not with a boyfriend, but with a newfound appreciation of himself, period. That last sentence makes sense.
About as much as mine did, I think. Okay. Yeah.
He really did the hokey pokey and turned himself around, didn't he?
Bottom king.
You put your right cheek in.
Put your right cheek out. Put your right cheek in and just stretch it all
no!
out. You do the homo pokey and
no!
around. That's what is sticking out. Now available on iTunes.
That's your Pinot Noir.
I feel like if Titus had one special guest star on Degrassi while Riley was there, it would have changed his life.
Riley would have come out immediately. Not because he would be attracted to Titus, but because he would be like, oh, I'm so inspired.
I'll start painting my nails immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, so...
All right, how are we going to fucking do this? Okay.
Where to begin?
Where to begin? I'll start with just how Riley is introduced to the series.
Yeah.
We have to set the scene. It is the year of our Lord, 2008, I think. 2007, 2008.
It's season 8, so.
So I think it's 2008. And our main cast of characters from seasons 1 through 7 have finally all gone away, except for Emma, Manny, and Liberty.
Yeah.
There's also the addition of three men in the opening credits who have the same colored hair. And their names are Riley, Blue, and Kelly.
they do be looking the same.
They do be looking the same. Something in 2008, the casting directors, the same casting directors that in 2001 were like, we need boys with eyebrows. Give us the eyebrows.
Yeah.
That same casting director was like, we need boys with this specific shade of brown. Give them to us.
Well, it's not just the shade. It's the texture.
It's the texture.
We had a sandy brown blonde curl that went in a bang and also in a skatery sort of over-the-ear situation.
Like Kelly's is the straightest. It's honestly a like, it's a progression. Kelly's is straight. Blue's is wavy and Riley's is curly.
Yeah, but they're all the same cut.
All the same color.
Almost a mushroom.
Well, Riley actually starts with short hair. I forget because I always prefer him with long hair. His curls are so good. So we have been introduced to this new football player. We've also been introduced to a football team.
Yeah.
Degrassi has never had a football team until season 8. And on that team, we now have Riley. And he just kind of exists kind of in the background for a little bit while he gets like acclimated to the school, while we're kind of looking at plots with other characters that we might know better. And then like, he's a little bit, we can tell that he's got something going on with him when he's in the locker room with the boys who are making fun of Jane. And he's one of the only boys that like stands up for Jane in that time. And so you're like, okay, he's got a heart at least. So you're kind of like, who is this guy and what's his deal? And then we find out his deal.
The deal in question.
In the episode, Man with Two Hearts. One of those hearts is gay.
The other heart is also gay, but just sad about it.
Yeah. And that's when Riley becomes good friends with Peter. And they are like, the audience is like, oh, cool, fun, friends. But then Riley seems to think that Peter's gay.
Yeah.
Riley seems to assume, which Jamie Johnston said that Peter is bisexual.
Yeah.
So Peter was a little gay and Riley was right. His gaydar was right. Peter just wasn't ready to admit this about himself.
And here's where things get real bitter for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt Riley in this moment of, I'm just pretty sure this guy I like is gay.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on when they all came out as bisexual in their 20s, meanwhile, me, a bitter old queen. It's like, yeah, sure. You're all bisexual now.
Yeah.
But back when I threw you into a locker and punched you a punch.
So like their friendship sparks up and it's really a lot of them just being bros until Riley shocks both Peter and the audience by kissing Peter right on the mouth. Right on the mouth in that loft that he lives in by himself. Because Mitz Hatzilakos had to move to Regina. I will never... Season 8 is murky to me, except Regina?
Regina? Yeah. And this was preceded by just innocent Mario Kart on the Wii.
Because it was 2008. And that's all we were doing in 2008 was playing things on the Wii.
Yeah.
And so this then leads to Peter being like freaked out, and in the same vein Riley is freaked out by his own actions and the fact that he has now essentially outed himself to someone.
Yeah.
But Peter's an ally. He might have been a shitty person, but he's not homophobic.
Yeah, this is, and this is where people were like, we're gonna write this ship with Peter. We're gonna give him the worst possible gay friend.
Yes.
But he's gonna be an ally about it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you mean that guy that took videos of girls with their tops off and then distributed it around the school, framed Sean Cameron for drugs, sent Darcy's nudes to an adult man who could easily like kidnap her. He's a terrible man, but he's not homophobic. How dare you assume that?
And I think this is textbook of like how people have brain rot right now, where they think all of their horrible people favorite characters, at least they're not homophobic.
Yes.
Like, I hate to break it to you.
You can be other bad things.
it's like, oh, well, he's an ally, which means we have to like him. No, we don't.
No, we don't.
No, we fucking don't.
We certainly don't.
But back then in 2008, we're like, oh, no, he's a good guy. He's an ally.
Yeah. And so this strikes up like a fun dynamic with Peter and Riley, where Riley's like, I can't face Peter. I can't do this. No, 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 no. I can't talk to this guy because he knows that I tried to kiss him. And Peter's like, hey, man, you want to kiss me? No, I'm joking. Look, come on. We're friends. And Riley's just like, stop. But so while Riley is trying to repress this, I will now pass it on to you. Because what is the next plot line?
Let me just simply scroll through. Yeah. So here's his drug plot line.
Which, you know, if you're on Degrassi, you've got a drug problem in some capacity.
If you don't have it, your buddy has it.
Yeah, I'm like trying to think, what character did not abuse drugs at any point? Ellie?
Which, shocking, honestly.
Yeah. Nope, Manny did coke.
She sure did.
Manny did coke.
Liberty didn't do drugs.
Right.
She was just called a crack whore in college.
Right. Right.
They assumed crack whore.
Yeah.
Which is just the, yeah.
Yeah.
Adam Torres never did drugs. He just died in a car accident.
That's true. Yeah, I don't think Adam ever did drugs.
They never let him have any fun.
No, they really didn't. But,
yeah, so
Riley's drug problem was not any fun recreational drugs. They were drugs that
made it
ruin your fucking life.
He was taking some steroids. Mm-hmm. He was trying to make sure he was at the top of his game, mm-hmm. his toxic masculinity game. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, when you take a repressed homosexual who is in the toxic masculinity game mm-hmm. and you give him steroids, what you have is you develop a rage problem.
Yes.
And we see he takes steroids and then runs in the woods.
Yes. And that is the beginning. Only gay shit happens in the woods, guys. We've already established this.
Look, he runs into the woods and he makes out with this trouty mouthed guy named Nathan,
who he knew from like an online chat room for repressed gay teens.
Yeah, and like, look and listen, y'all. If you've never been on Kick Messenger in 2008 with another secret teenager.
A secret teenager.
A secret teen and exchange messages and then go make out in the woods. You and me, we live different lives.
It's a gay teen rite of passage, as far as I know.
Yeah. You have to download Kick Messenger. Mm-hmm. You have to get onto a forum of some kind, and one of you needs to have a swoopy bang. Otherwise it doesn't work. The swoopy bang kid also is the skinny jeans kid, and the other one's like wearing something baggy, and
yep,
both of you showered a little bit, but like, you, it's weird. It's weird,
you know. Honestly, same energy as fucking Omar and Ander from Elite.
Yeah. We all know it's cross-cultural.
It is. It really is.
It's the same in Spain.
One of you is a drug dealer or on drugs. There is no.
Yes. Correct. Yes. You're right. So he goes running around the woods, mama. Mm-hmm. And he just make it out with that twink.
And that kiss is the worst.
It's wet.
It's wet.
It's long.
It's like, I don't know why, what direction they gave that boy. Because Riley's like, he just meets up with Nathan. And then Nathan's like, we here to make out? And Riley's like, no, I need to leave. Because he's, like I said,
Panicking
and also hokey pokeying. He can't, yeah. Like, Riley is maybe, and this isn't just about, like, him coming out of the closet. It's also just, like, he's maybe the most, like, finicky person to ever exist.
Oh, yeah, no, he's the most indecisive.
Yeah.
Like, The only person I think is who is more finicky that I've seen in recent media is like Chidi from The Good Place.
Okay, yeah.
Like the level of like, should I not? I don't know.
And it's infuriating. But he's about to leave Nathan in the woods. And then Nathan's like, no, wait. And then he like, it's like one of those awful, like, imagine a 13-year-old boy kissing a pillow.
Mm-hmm.
It's that.
Yeah.
So gross. And Riley's barely kissing back, but then like, you know.
Who would?
Secondly, eventually he gives in. Yeah. And do they just make out in the woods, right?
See, in my heart of hearts, I know the writers really just meant for it to be a make out. I personally think there was at least an oral situation.
I mean, that's what happens in the woods. That's Zoe and Zig.
Yeah, that's like for sure and for certain. Someone was sucking dick and cock in those woods.
And sucking dick and cock.
and all I'm gonna say is one person had a wetter mouth than the other one. and here's where we have to really talk about Argyris's acting here.
Yeah.
And I rewatched a few scenes,
mm-hmm.
and here's what I'm gonna tell you. Argyris has one really convincing face, and it's a face of, oh no, I'm confused.
Abject terror and confusion, yes.
And so when he's making out with that boy, knowing full goddamn well that's a heterosexual man,
mm-hmm.
I will give him this one credit. He doesn't look like a straight man who doesn't want to kiss that boy.
Right.
He looks like a teenager who is really struggling.
Yes.
With kissing anybody.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. That's one thing that Argyris did do well. Literally anything else, I'm so sorry, baby.
Look.
I understand why you're not acting anymore.
Look, I cannot fault that man. They gave him a job.
Yeah.
They gave him a job and he did that job.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I understand.
Was he employee of the month? No.
No, never.
No. But
that award always went to Miss Charlotte Arnold. I'm so sorry.
Well, Charlotte Arnold was busy. She was also a producer and she was also a director. And she was also an executive.
And you know what? Just like the Oscars and snubbing Margot Robbie, she was snubbed.
Yep. Every single time. He has a little bit of drama with Peter.
Yes.
He does assault Peter with an eraser in English class.
Yes.
And Miss Kwan rats him out.
Yeah.
And he is sent to the principal's office with like, hey, I think you might have a rage problem.
Yeah.
And that's weird.
Yeah.
And they discover his steroid usage.
Yes. Yes. And so in this ties into my plot point, which this is the beginning of Riley. Would the term be growing beards? Obtaining beards?
I think wearing.
Wearing.
Because the whole point is they're not real.
Right. So Riley has started wearing a beard and her name is Anya McPherson.
Anya McPherson. I think she's my favorite beard of Riley.
She's definitely my favorite. Like, first of all, Anya's great about most things. and Anya being the gay ally of the show is so on brand and so funny and such a funny choice. Like, remember when she is talking to Holly J and she's like, I have a lot of gay friends. In fact, I think you're my only not gay friend, huh? Because Anya's great friends with Riley, Zane, and Fiona. She is the ally of the show.
But look, the tall girl with braces, she was the ally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's correct,
always. And so Anya's in an off period with Sav. We haven't even discussed any of the Sonya of it all in this podcast yet, because we're saving those big boys for last. But
those fucking chonker meaty boys.
The meaty boys, meaning Anya, Sav, Holly J, fucking Zane. No, not Zane's not meaty. I meant to say Fiona. meaty characters. But yeah, Anya's on an off period with Sav, and Riley decides to swoop in and try and use her as a beard to get himself kind of in the mindset of a straight football player. Because that's really Riley's thing, is like, I can't be gay and play football. It's the Troy Bolton conundrum.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, all he needed was to watch High School Musical.
One time.
He'd be like, oh, yes, this is a metaphor. Mm-hmm. Except he's really bad at English, so maybe he wouldn't get the metaphor.
So true. So, yeah, he secures Anya as a beard for a little bit, and she's so in it to make Sav jealous. But then Riley and Sav start getting into it because, you know, Sav still feels like he has ownership over Anya, even though they're broken up. Come on. And then Sav makes the mistake of, so Riley has taken Anya out on a picnic, or he has a picnic for her at school. And Sav makes the mistake of calling the picnic gay in the derogatory Hillary Duff way.
The anti-Hillary Duff way.
Where, hey, that's, what, how does she put it in the commercial?
Hey, calling something gay, you think that's okay? Yeah. That's, stop saying gay.
Stop saying gay when you mean stupid.
You saying gay when you really mean bad makes people feel bad. Mm-hmm. Don't make them feel bad. Stop gay now.
So Sav is not an ally in this moment. And he calls.
He didn't think there were any gay people here.
That's so true. Look, we will come up with excuses for Sav Bhandari's behavior for the rest of our goddamn lives, okay?
Sav Bhandari would never say that if Zayn were here.
Exactly.
He's only not an ally behind closed doors.
And honestly, that's such a straight man thing to do. It's very straight of him.
Well, and here's the thing. Sav wasn't even thinking of gay people when he called it gay.
Never.
He was trying to emasculate a very clearly bigger, stronger man.
Exactly.
Who was going out with a woman he believed he possessed.
Exactly.
He's not a feminist either, what I'm saying.
Sav is not any good thing, and yet we love him. We'll get there. Sav kind of sucks, but that's okay. We'll get there. But yeah, he calls Riley's picnic gay, and that sets the fucking...
The beast.
that brings the beast out. And Riley just wails on him.
Yeah.
It's
pretty uncomfortable.
It's pretty uncomfortable. I remember when we watched it in 2020, and we were just like, oh no, he's bleeding so much. Oh God, is he going to kill Sav right here, right now? And luckily, Sav survived, but with some pretty bad fucking bruises. And I think he spends the next two episodes with
a broken nose.
A broken nose. Continuity. We love that for them.
Continuity queens.
Yeah. That's when Riley is like, wow, I have an anger problem. It's because of my gay and my steroids. I'm going to stop doing one of those things. And it's the steroids.
Yeah.
So then that leads us to Riley's plot lines in season 9, which he doesn't have very many, like just off the top of my head. He is there for Peter with his meth problem.
Yeah. And I think that's where we're like, okay, we'll figure out what to do with him at some point. Mm-hmm. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's when the lifeguard guy, when Riley Riley is training to become a lifeguard, and the teacher
instructor,
so an adult man.
Well, here's the thing. I think he's a teen, but like a 19.
Sure. Yeah, that's always confused me. I'm like, this guy is like an adult. What is he doing here, and why is there romantic tension between him and Riley?
Because, and this is really where we get into the, because I've had arguments with homosexuals about this where they're like, Riley wasn't even that cute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But every single homosexual in this stratosphere has romantic tension with Riley.
Yeah.
Simply because, well, look at him.
Well, also, I think this is the storytelling of, it might not even be romantic tension. It is really just that Riley sees. It's like, it's gaydar.
Yeah.
And Riley doesn't want it. He wishes he didn't have it.
But he smells it.
He knows that this man is gay. And that's when Riley goes from being just a closeted gay man, boy, to being a full-fledged gay bashing closeted man boy.
Yeah, this is where if we were living, if Glee had spent more time with Karofsky.
Just about to.
Like, but here's the problem. Where Riley was like, I'm hot and can get a girl. Karofsky was, I'm in a Ryan Murphy verse.
Yeah.
I'm fat, which means no one loves me.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah. Yeah. And luckily we didn't have Riley trying to kill himself.
Which,
thank
like.
Thank God. While Darren Criss sings cough syrup.
Who would sing Riley's cough syrup?
Ooh, and would the song be cough syrup? It wouldn't be cough syrup. I think it would be Skyscraper by Demi Lovato.
No.
As sung by Peter Stone.
Peter Stone's cover of Skyscraper is so beautiful. Too bad Riley had to to try and hang himself in the locker room.
Did you want to talk about Lifeguard Boy?
Yeah, so this is another moment where I can't watch this one.
It's bad. It's so embarrassingly bad.
Well, it's bad, and also it meant so much to me to see everyone without a shirt off.
Oh yeah.
And That's embarrassing for me. Mm-hmm. It's embarrassing for everyone. Mm-hmm. But it's also so after school special.
Yeah.
Terrible. Where it's like, Riley gets an erection at the pool.
Yes, he does.
And look, we all get erections at the pool sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Even you.
Yeah, even me.
Yeah. And I get it. Sam's hot.
Mm-hmm.
Worthy of an erection. And Sam was trying to be cool about it. And then he just beats on Sam in a locker room again.
Mm-hmm, because Sam, the thing about Sam is that Sam is out and gay.
Yeah.
And Riley can't stand that. He can't. He's looking at him. He's like, I can't believe you're living this life that I could be living if I didn't hate myself so much.
You mean you're a jock and also out? You'd think you think his little brain would be able to figure out, oh, wait, this is a good representation. Someone I can look up to. No, someone must die.
Someone must die.
If I can't do this, no one can.
And so, yeah, he like beats the shit out of his instructor, who like can't really hit him back because he doesn't want to lose his fucking job.
Yeah.
And that's when he has to talk to LGBT club, Larissa, the leader of the LGBT club.
Well, he kisses Shantae first. And he does that.
More bearding.
Yeah. Shantae. Beard number two.
Yes. So this is when Riley secures beard number two, because while he's in this like brain rot of hating his swim instructor and repressing his own gay identity, he's like, okay, well, how can I, if I can't take steroids and be more masculine, naturally I have to kiss a woman.
Yeah.
So then he tries to beard Shantae, and Shantae is not like Anya.
Shantae is better than me.
Mm-hmm. She's not gonna. She's not gonna handle any of this. They had spoken. I think the line is like, she's like she had spoke. They had spoken for like two. They had like two conversations or something, and he tried to kiss her or something. Yeah.
And like, this is the part where like his hunt of beards is so interesting,
because
first he gets Anya, who's like. Is she one of the cool girls? She's cool adjacent.
Yeah, she's good friends with Holly J, who's like the cool girl.
But like he has a status.
Yeah.
As like QB.
Yeah.
Shantae is more in his league as far as what popularity should be concerned.
Well, I mean, Anya and Shantae, like this is also an issue of season 8 not really presenting us with many like different types of people. Because Shantae, Anya, and Holly J are all Power Squad members.
Yeah.
So it's like, he could go after any of them because status-wise, he's QB. Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Shantae, I feel like if there was a missed opportunity here, Shantae could have smelled that from a mile away.
Oh, yeah. She could have been like,
Like, I feel there could have been a better storyline of Shantae and her little gossip moment.
Mm-hmm.
Being like,
oh, yeah.
Because I think if anyone has gaydar, Shantae should have gaydar.
Yes. Yes. 100%.
A nose for gossip.
Yeah. And like, I think that's the power of Shantae, though, is that she probably has the strongest gaydar in all of Degrassi, but she would never use it for evil.
It's like, I think Are you a homo? Are you a homo? I think you might be a homo. You know what? I'm not gonna say anything. It's rude. I'm not gonna say anything. It's rude. It's rude. It's rude. It's rude. However, if I'm gonna steal your man.
Yep. And so then, yeah, and that's when he goes and punches Sam again. Yeah. This is the first time he beats Sam up.
Yeah, because it happens twice, which is absurd.
Yes. Yes, this is the first time, and then it happens again in the next episode. And then that's when they bring him to the school's LGBT club, and they're like, dude, you are homophobic, and we cannot stand that at our school. Get your fucking act together.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? What's the LGBT? A sandwich? Aha. Mm-hmm. But
wah, 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 wah.
And... yeah, his anger is really, you know, bubbling over at this point where he now is trying to find a cure.
A cure for his confusion.
His confusion, his homosexuality.
And so where does he seek it out? A lesbian.
Mm-hmm. He goes and tries to date Fiona, which this makes beard number 3 in 2 seasons. Less than 2 seasons, like in a season.
Yeah.
And Fiona's like, And they kind of hit it off because they Let the Right One In, like the movie, yeah. The foreign version of Let Me In. And so weird that Riley like likes that, because it's like he's not like cultured and smart.
No, he's not an intellectual. Mm-mm. And this is where, again, where like the writers didn't really give him a chance, where it's like, in lieu of a personality, we'll just make him a dumb boy who wants other dumb boys.
Right.
Which, like, that's representation or whatever. But, like, Dylan Michael Chuck was, like, your hockey guy who was a jock but also gay, and that was cool, and he was involved in whatever. Like, could Riley have an interest that he could offer to someone?
Right.
Anyone besides his body?
Right, right. And it's just, yeah, it's interesting that he liked Let the Right One In when it didn't seem like that's kind of like foreign film is really anything that would interest him. And so he and Fiona really hit it off, and he's like, okay, cool. New beard alert. Where Fiona speculates that Riley's gay.
Fiona has gaydar for everyone besides herself.
Yes, which is so silly. So silly. Because Declan's the one who told her.
Yeah.
He's like, it sounds like he might be gay. And Fiona's like, no. Maybe.
Ooh.
Ooh. And so now this is a few episodes later, so she tells Riley, like, look, like, if you're gay, it's okay, like, people will still love you. And Riley's like, no, you see, I found a cure.
I've been cured. I've been seeing this guy. And she's like, no.
And then that's when delivers the line of the century, where she tries to walk away from him, and she's like, we can't do this. And
you
she
can't
walks away.
You can't cure homosexuality.
And then he goes, too bad you can't cure bitch. Boom. Mic drop. And then Fiona looks really like mad about it. I remember them playing that in the commercial a lot, which was funny.
Yeah.
So then when does he finally like say it to himself that he's gay? Is it at the it's at the end of this episode.
It's, I'm a homosexual.
I'm gay. I'm a homosexual. And that's when he comes out to Peter. And so Peter we've hit the mark. Riley has come out to someone on his own volition, and it is Peter. Yay, we stick a flag in it.
Yeah.
And so now I love how this person put, she needs to interview him for some kind of Degrassi Bachelor Award, as if this person didn't know what it was.
It's the most eligible Bachelor Award. And here's where I know this episode a little almost by heart.
Okay.
It's
well, because the kiss is so good.
It's one of the best. If you ever know Princess Bride.
Okay.
And you know how the grandpa goes, and it was one of the five kisses that changed the whole face of the world.
Yes.
This is one of those kisses.
Yes, it is.
This is one of those smooches.
Because, it's the eligible Degrassi bachelor thing. Or is it like an auction? No, because the auction happens in season 10 or 11.
Yeah, it's not an auction. It's literally just a mixed media project that Anya has to do. And so he and Peter are like having a little chat. And this is where Riley is in his puka shell era.
Yes.
Because Riley has two signature outfits.
Mm-hmm.
He's either in a tank top that is tight around the neck
mm-hmm.
and gym shorts, or he's wearing long jeans, a polo shirt, yep. and a puka shell necklace.
Yep.
And
ugly.
It's when I tell you that had a chokehold on me. It's like, why do you have a puka shell necklace? What's the deal? What are we doing?
That means you've put effort into your appearance outside from just a shirt and pants. Wow.
Yeah, but the effort was in the wrong direction. It made it worse.
Yes.
And he responds by being, because Anya walks in and is like, hi, I need the Degrassi's most eligible bachelor. Mm-hmm. And Peter's like, I'll be right with you. And she's like, oh, no. I met Riley. And he's like, me? Yeah, all the girls voted in a landslide. And I'm like, okay.
That's because girls love gay men.
And here's the problem. After all of the public shenanigans he's done.
That's the crazy part.
And like, how did you kiss Shantae after two conversations? And how mm-hmm. did she not immediately spread that you're weird?
Yeah. Yeah. What is this? And also just like, I don't know, beating up gay people, kissing Shantae, trying to date Fiona, shouting, too bad you can't cure bitch. How do girls still like him?
It was a different time.
It was a different time.
It was a different time.
They were like, ooh, he speaks his mind.
And his mind has very few thoughts. And the thoughts that they do have aren't good.
Yeah, those thoughts are mean and they're violent.
Hot. And I say this knowing full well, if I were a girl at Degrassi, you bet your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You bet your ass. Couldn't catch me.
But yeah. And so then while this is going on, he does admit to Anya that he's gay. He comes out to Anya. So flag number two.
Well, he comes out. He comes out at yoga, which is crazy to me.
Gayest place to come out. No, wait. Gayest place to come out is while you're doing Shakespeare to your dad, Marco.
Because here's the setup. And here's the beauty of the setup. I love In Your Eyes so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because it forms all of the cohesion together. Actually, they focus on a plot for a little bit.
Yeah.
He has his anger management whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
He has to seek treatment, so he's in yoga class.
Yes.
And everyone knows that, so he's allowed to do yoga because he's in anger management.
That's
he's
so
a big
funny.
Little man. And he brings Anya to yoga. She hasn't been to yoga. This is not part of her routine.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that people are like, that's a straight man bringing his bestie to yoga.
Yeah.
Like,
come on, guys.
And here we are. No one suspects a thing except for Zane, the only person with eyes.
Yes. Also, why are Anya and Riley allowed to hang out together after he kicked her boyfriend's ass?
Because Anya's messy.
She's like, oh, yeah, you beat up my boyfriend and broke his nose.
Well, ex-boyfriend.
Well, they were exes at the time, but now they're back together.
Yeah, but she's still messy.
True. So true.
Yeah. Anya is petty. And that's why we love her.
So true.
She doesn't care. She doesn't give a shit about what anyone thinks, regardless of if they're right. And
I'm so excited. I was explaining to Ezra the fake pregnancy plot line the other day.
Good.
And he was like, what?
It's so
And I
good.
Was like, yeah. And then she goes, I had a miscarriage. Super bummer.
Queen.
Oh, but that's a story for another day.
Another day. But like, I love the framing because she's recording for the project and she's like, what girls are like you into? He looks over her shoulder. Zane, who looks like an anime character and mm-hmm. a fish, had a baby with his hair.
And he had fish from fucking Cinderella ? You know the fish that's like, isn't there like a hot Disney fish?
Okay, so There's the one that Willem Dafoe voiced in Finding Nemo, Gil.
No.
Everyone says is the hot fish.
I'm talking a fish in the classic Disney. Wait. Pinocchio. Her. Zane looks like her.
Not the goldfish with the full beat in Pinocchio.
She's a goldfish wearing makeup, but like her hair or her fin, that's like Zane's hair.
Yeah. And the entire episode is this Zane, very clearly I fucking Riley, and just being like, yeah, you brought your bestie to yoga. I had assumed you were out of the closet. And Riley's like, no, it's a secret. And he's like, a secret, huh?
To whom?
Oh, sorry to burst your bubble, bud. I clocked you like weeks ago.
Yeah. And so this begins the Xylee?
Xylee.
Xylee.
Listen, the internet said Xylee. I'm a rain truther.
I see that. I think I'm a Xylee truther. Yeah.
No one is on my side.
Or even Xylee.
That sounds like a baby, like a baby that a millennial had.
This is Xylee.
She's named after my two favorite homosexuals from Degrassi.
But yeah, and so this really marks the beginning of Zane and Riley together.
Yeah.
And that kiss is so good.
It's the best one.
They go on a little date. They stand up on a building that's about to get like torn down.
Well, this is also very gay culture. Mm-hmm. A gay person was in the room when we wrote this because he went to a cafe and Riley stood with his back leaned against a brick wall looking, and that was in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And that scene where he walks like, we can't go here. And so they run to an abandoned building. Mm-hmm. Very gay culture.
So gay.
And then he gets chased by a cop. And the scene where Zane's like, why'd you leave me with the rent-a-cop?
Right.
And Riley's like, well, because I had to get out of here. Because otherwise I would have done something stupid, like punch him out. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Riley.
And Zane performs the first of many labors he will perform for Riley of walking him through a very complex quote emotion where it's like the yoga. Is this part of that? The whole anger management. And he's like, yeah. And it's like, okay. Are you going to come to the mixer tonight? Because gays have mixers.
Yes.
Just say dance. Just say party. Why are you calling it a mixer? There's no wine and cheese at this thing. You're teenagers. And he goes, no, I don't think so. It's like, oh, so you're not going to come out after all of this. And that's where I'm like, okay. So he's not ready to be out, you know, at a coffee shop. We get that. But like, it's very clear that you've stepped on a mentally ill gay.
Yes.
Maybe just let him breathe.
Yeah. But yeah, and then they end up kissing.
Well, he goes to the mixer.
Yeah.
And right as Zane's about to get into the car, which is not just an Uber, and he's like, I better catch this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's your Uber. He can't leave without you. It's okay.
Yeah.
And then they kiss on the street, and it's the best kiss
it's
ever.
Hot. It's hot. His hand is all like on his neck.
Yeah,
and shit.
It's good.
It's good neck
support. Ugh.
Honestly, like, I can't think of like a better gay kiss on the show.
We don't get one.
Yeah,
because we had two boys who understood the assignment.
Mm-hmm. I think they're both straight too.
Yeah,
and Shannon Cook Chung is straight.
And look, when I say we need more gay people, real gay people telling gay stories, I mean, if the straight people want to do this, they better come with this energy.
Yes, for sure.
They better be smooching, and they better be smooching real good.
Yep. But so then we come to season 10. And the first time we see Riley in season 10, I need to share an anecdote. So season 10 comes out in 2010. This is when my younger brother is about 4 years old.
Oh, no.
And there's a scene where Riley and Zane are like wrestling on the ground.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm watching it, and it's nothing like they're not kissing on the mouth yet. But
it's
just
pornography.
Them like rolling around on the grass. My mom looked at the TV and went, "Should you be watching that with your brother in the room?" And I was like, They're just playing a sport, Mom. And then, like, the gay energy between their faces.
It's... Well, because there's a moment where one straddles the other.
Yes.
And, like, because, look, it premiered. It was in summer.
Yeah, I was watching too hot.
I was watching it because I was waiting. And it was the first shot of season 10.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. Because I was wondering, like, when am I going to have to wait to see Riley again? And I saw it first scene out the gate.
Yeah.
You couldn't talk to me for several minutes. You couldn't talk to me for several minutes. I had to lie down.
It's a good scene.
It was a good scene.
And it was hot. And I love that. I love that scene. But this is when, so we thought Riley's coming out journey
was over.
Not over. Like, it would be crazy to assume that it's over.
I was crazy because in my little mind, you can't have a boyfriend and not have anyone know about it.
Yeah. And I mean, it makes more sense if he is dating Zane at school and everyone at school knows he's gay and then he goes home and is straight.
Yeah.
That would make sense. Marco did that for years.
Yeah. That's just gay 101.
Yeah.
Don't tell your mom.
Yeah.
Why would you tell your mom?
But the fact that Riley is still straight at school is insane.
Because, like, what? Where are you going to be gay? You already went to that mixer. This is the problem.
They all know.
Except, no, they don't.
Well, the gays know. Well, the gays don't apparently know. They were like, oh, that straight guy came to our mixer and then kissed our president on the mouth. No, Larissa's the president. So the fact that Riley is still straight at school is mind-boggling to me. So straight at school, in fact, that he begins to worry. So this is when we are introduced to none other than
Andrew Torres. My God. And when I tell you something, and I think all of us who liked men at the time wanted just one last angsty kiss from Riley Stavros to Drew Torres.
I agree.
I think they should have made out.
I think so too. I agree. But so yeah, Drew is introduced and Drew is gunning for QB.
Yeah.
Which, like, first of all, you're so tiny. You're so little.
Well, and here's the thing. I love Drew as a character because he was Machiavellian, number one. He was sprightly. He was such a small little boy.
Yeah.
But he had a vision.
Yeah.
He had a dream. He said, I'm going to find what makes the current quarterback tick and use it for his downfall. And
is this the first plot where we get to talk about Drew?
I think, seriously.
Oh my God. This feels insane to get to talk about Drew Torres in a plot line.
Yeah, because this is pre-brain damage Drew.
Yes.
Back when he had all those wheels a-turning.
Yes.
He was ready.
God.
And Riley, so stupid.
So stupid.
So stupid.
And then Drew is the most stupid boy of all in the end. But so yeah, Drew comes. He's gunning for QB. He wants to take it from Riley so bad. And he learns that Riley is gay somehow.
Well, he references, I've been to the gym. I see you. And like that, it's so funny. It's like, most people are like, yeah, we're just not really paying attention to Riley that much, as most people aren't paying attention to other people.
Yeah.
But the ones who pay attention to Riley are like, oh, yeah, that's a gay person.
That's a gay man. That's a gay man.
That's a gay person.
And so Drew threatens to out Riley and get QB taken from him. Or not. He wants Riley to leave the football team so that he can take QB, or he will out Riley and ruin his chances of getting
a scholarship
at school for being gay, I guess. Which, like, the year is 2010, guys.
Well, it unfortunately, like, people, depending on the university you wanted to go to,
yeah,
they just wouldn't pick you.
Right. So true. Yeah. Riley is afraid of ruining his future by coming out.
Yeah.
And so eventually he decides to stand up to Drew. That's kind of where that plot line ends up. And he, like, isn't...
He tapes into the flagpole. Which, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Go off.
Go
do
off,
that.
King. Yeah. That's what he deserved. And then he... Basically, Drew is too afraid to to tell on Riley.
Yeah.
So he's like, and even though Audra Torres is like, who did this to my son? Did you know? And Drew's like, no, they were wearing masks. Sorry.
Instead of like a gay person.
Yeah.
Because then he would have to explain to Audra Torres.
Oh, I was being homophobic.
I was blackmailing a homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
So I could get the QB spot, and Otter been like, Otter Torres, the long suffering Otter Torres.
Yeah. So there's that plot line, and eventually Riley, like, he's like, no, I am not standing down. And if people find out I'm gay, then they find out I'm gay. And that's kind of where we're in the exact middle of his coming out journey.
Yeah.
His timeline, we are in the exact middle, because now Riley has reached a point of indifference. He's not, oh, I need to stay in the closet, and he's not, hey, I'm gay. He's, hey, I'm gay, and if you find out, you find out, but I'm not volunteering that information.
Yeah, I'm not advertising it.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend is still being neglected, mm-hmm, in public.
Yes.
By me.
And being bullied by new bullies, Owen Milligan and Fitz.
Yeah.
Thank God we don't have to do a Fitz episode.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because, like, Fitz had more plot lines than fucking Blue.
Yeah.
Fitz had a better arc than Bruce the Moose. Kelly. Anyway. Then.
And his actor was good.
Yeah. Oh, no. I love Fitz. I'm a little mad that we don't get to do a Fitz episode now that I'm comparing him to Blue. But so then Zane joins the football team.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, okay,
now we have an openly gay football player.
Exactly.
And it's my boyfriend.
And it's my boyfriend. And somehow the rest of the school can't know. And Zane's like, I have literally opened the door. Come out.
I walked up to the door you couldn't open because you don't know what a push-pull is.
I jimmied the lock.
I opened it for you, and you just won't walk through it, you son of a bitch.
And it's like, yeah, sure, Riley shouldn't have to come out if he's not ready. But, like, come on, man.
Man.
Sir.
You've got one thing. You got one hurdle.
Yeah, just...
You spend so much time worrying about being gay, you forgot you were a senior.
Yes. You're going to graduate soon, buddy.
It's like, but, and like, look, and maybe this is just me. At some level, if it's between being gay and being ridiculed and having a hot piece of ass, I feel like, you know.
Yeah, valid.
You know? And like, look, Zane did all of that while also being brave enough to have weird hair.
Yes. Yes. Speaking of hair, this is when Riley's in his best hair era.
Yeah.
I'm really into it. I'm looking at the pictures on the wiki.
I just want to run my fingers through
it. I just want to take a nap in his curls.
Yeah. And this is also where Zane gets the nickname Mr. Gay. And
Mr.
then
Gay.
And then also Rockette. And Rockette is funny.
Rockette is so funny.
Because he's a kicker. Do you get it?
Owen is a lot of things. But unfunny has never been one of them.
Yeah. Owen Milligan, because Drew's like, haha, Mr. Gay. And mm-hmm. then Owen Milligan's like, no, he's Rockette.
And how because he's a kicker. Get it?
And how do I know about the Rockettes?
My gay brother.
In fact, I probably walked into his room in eighth grade at the time and said, hey, what do I call a gay person who's a kicker on the team? You could call him Rockette. Thanks. Walks out of the room.
Do you think the writers were like, they like wrote Tristan and they were like, what should we do with Tristan? How can we connect him to any existing characters? Well, like, Owen doesn't really have any family. Yeah, but Owen's homophobic. Do you think he hates his brother? Well, maybe they have some sort of symbiotic relationship where Tristan gives him material to be homophobic with.
Yeah. Like, I think they're both evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, evil people are homophobic.
Yeah. And evil people can also be gay. Disney. Yeah. So then Zane is getting bullied at school. He gets thrown in a dumpster by Owen and the gang. And Riley is like Riley recognizes that he has a privilege as a straight passing athlete in school, and he could very well help Zane in this time. But because he's afraid of being found out, he does not speak up until it gets to the point where Zane is being thrown into dumpsters. And Riley's like, how can I use my powers for good without being outed to the entire school and lose my chances at a scholarship?
No one can know I'm Spider-Man, but they're coming after my family.
And so he ends up in a feud with like the bullies in school. And while this is going on, he and Zane are still dating. And Riley is like, maybe I should just come out so that to like make all of this end. And he tries to come out to his mom, but it doesn't work.
She's very much like, oh, no, I'm not listening. Yes. I'm not hearing this.
Riley's mom is the most la 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 mother of the bunch. And it's pretty silly. And this is when Snacks for the Study Buddies happens, right? Or is that later?
No, this is exactly when it happens.
I love Snacks for the Study Buddies.
Snacks for the Study Buddies. And oh, they're making out.
Yeah. Riley and Zane are kissing at the foot of his bed. And his mom comes in and she's like, oh, I have snacks for you. I'm going to go.
Because he's like, oh, I should come out to her. She's seen it. And she's like, I saw nothing.
Yes, I saw nothing. We don't have to talk about this. Everybody goes through phases. And Riley's like, it's not a phase, mom. But, you know, classic gay shit. Yeah.
It's the most classic flavor. Mm-hmm. Homophobic mom.
Yep. And so now Riley is kind of out at school where it's don't ask, don't tell. But it's also ask and tell. So if people ask, Riley's telling. But no.
It's Schrodinger's homosexual.
Yes.
When do they break up?
They break up after the Athena thing. But before then is when they are entered as kings for the dance.
Yeah.
And that's when the whole school is like, oh, shit, Riley's gay. But this is also when a recruiter is coming to the school for Riley's college shit. And Riley's like, and then he's like, hey, man, you need to know that I'm gay. And then the recruiter's like, cool, like Harvey Milk. And Riley's like, well, yeah. And then the guy's like, that's awesome. Yeah, we could use a gay football player. And he's like, what happened to Harvey Milk? And he's like, well, he was assassinated, you know, for being gay.
Yeah.
But that's, you're not going to have to worry about that. And Riley's like,
yeah.
So now he's reached the issue of he can be gay and on the football team. He can be gay and on the football team and out. He can be gay and on the football team and out and still go to college. But he can be gay and on the football team and out and go to college and then get killed.
Yeah.
For being such a high profile gay athlete. Person. Because like he'll be the first out gay athlete at whatever school he goes to usually or typically. So now he's like, scaled.
He's so scaled. And like I remember that episode being like, no, but like I thought we all gay people knew that.
Yeah.
And this is where we really discover no, he has not had a single critical thought.
Yeah.
Like I always know when I walk around, and I knew that when I was 16, walking around being me.
Yep.
The odds of someone getting a little miffed and deciding mm-hmm. to murder me, that's
hate
just
crime.
Yeah, that's just what's sucks to suck.
Yeah, yeah. But then eventually Riley does what he always does and is eventually just like, you know what, if it happens, it happens.
If it happens, it happens.
I could get hate crimed, but at least I'm living my life the way I'm meant to.
Yeah.
And so he just he takes the scholarship.
Yeah.
Riley's mom, still in denial, tries to Riley wants to come out to his dad. His mom's like, no. But she's still in denial. She's like, why don't we invite Athena to, I think it's, is it a graduation thing or like a congratulations on getting to college dinner or something like that. So
it's
they're
something
having
that Zane should go to. And yes. Not.
And so she invites his childhood friend Athena, which if you forgot, they're Greek.
Yeah.
And Athena thinks that she and Riley have a chance with each other. It's kind of like Sav and Farah.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, this is, they're trying to set us up, but clearly this guy has another thing on his mind. And Athena's okay with him being gay. He tells her, he's like, I'm gay. My mom wants you to date me so that I won't be gay anymore. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm not doing that. And so then he is like, he wants to come out to his dad, but he eventually is like, I can't do that. I don't think I can. And that's when he and Zane break up because Zane's like, I can't do, or no, Zane is okay with it. But Riley's like, I can't keep putting you through this. He's like, we can't do this anymore because you have a life to live that is out. And I, for the sake of my life, need to stay in some respect.
Yeah.
So now we've taken 4 steps forward and 10 steps back.
It's like we're back to where we started.
Yes. They stay broken up until the end of the season, until they graduate. And
they both reveal they're going to the same college.
Yeah. So it's kind of, it's very not like anticlimactic.
Well, Riley fights Owen by the end of, and punches him in the face.
Yeah, he's already at this point fought Owen.
Well,
yeah, times.
Well, yeah, but like it's very dramatic of like, you know, they're still trying to like interact.
Yeah.
And he fights Owen. And that's right. Like, that's a climactic moment of like.
Sure.
Fighting for what you believe in or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And so. Oh, and then Anya is messy because she dates Riley, or she quote unquote date. She's friends with Riley after he beats up her boyfriend. Then she dates Owen after he is homophobic to her best friend.
Look. I need everyone to look me in the eyes. I don't have an answer for this.
I love her. The answer is she's crazy and I love her.
Yeah.
So that's where Riley ends. That's the end of Riley. And now we get to talk about his ships.
Okay.
Should we count Riley and Peter? We counted Riley with Peter's, didn't we?
Yeah.
So we count Riley and Peter. So yeah. I think Riley and Peter have a lovely friendship.
They do.
I think it's a beautiful friendship. I think because Jamie Johnston said that Peter is bisexual, I don't think they would work as a couple.
No, they do not.
But.
Because I think that Jamie Johnston is right that Peter's bisexual. I don't think that Peter wants to fuck Riley.
No. Yeah. I wonder what kind of bisexual Peter is.
I think he's the kind of bisexual who would fuck Marco.
Yeah. I could see that too. I think Peter is like a Miles type bisexual.
Yeah.
Where he's like crazy. He's a little crazy. He's just a chaos demon.
Yeah.
He's just here for the lulz.
I think that if Peter had the chance to make out with Craig Manning, he would.
Oh my God, yes. For sure.
Peter and Craig making out is a choice.
That's the mouths on that for some reason are stressing me out. Because you know
it's the chins.
The chins. And Jake Epstein has such like wet, pouty little lips.
Yeah.
And then Jamie Johnston has such thin little lips.
They'd be enveloped. Just.
So, yeah, Peter and Riley, beautiful friendship. We don't think they would work out romantically.
Yeah.
Zane and Riley.
Well, I think that they'll go to college. They'll sit next to each other at freshman orientation. And then Zane will realize, I have so many options.
Yeah.
That don't include this bullshit.
Yep.
I might be out, guys.
I 100% agree. I love them as each other's first love.
Yeah.
I love them as a high school relationship of the two gay guys out of school being forced to be together.
Yeah.
But I don't think they have much legs, especially because Riley put Zane through such bullshit for so long that it's sour now. It's sour. And them implying that they're going to get back together after going to college together is just a fan service.
Yeah.
I think Riley ends up with a nice. I honestly see Riley as a mask for mask guy.
Yeah, because Riley just began the work.
Yeah.
Whether or not he continues the work is entirely different. I think Riley had a lot of work to do.
Yes, I agree. I agree. And I see him settling down with a nice, like, soccer player or, like, another athlete. And they go to, like, they bar hop. They go to sports bars and then gay bars.
Or he falls in love with, like, a spirit leader.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the guy with the bullhorn. Just like,
yeah.
Let's go, Riley. Let's go.
Aw. Yeah. Or, like, a male cheerleader. They have those in college.
Yeah.
Anyway. So yeah, those are Riley's ships. And then of course the many, many beards, which like,
let's rank the beards.
Rank the beards.
So
okay.
Anya's on top.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fiona next.
Yeah.
I like Marisol just because she's such mm-hmm. a silly choice.
Yes.
And then Shantae because she wasn't really a beard. She was a grab attempt, not yeah. necessarily a full.
Yeah. And then Athena. Where does Athena lie in that?
Oh, Athena's at the bottom.
Athena's at the bottom? Okay.
She ruins everything.
Yeah. I agree. Okay. Well, now is the time.
For when you were such a Riley.
I mean, I'm going to have to do some thinking. Are you going to have to do any thinking? Well, I mean, yeah, you will, because like you've been fairly out as far as I've known you.
Yeah. It was really more of just, are we going to talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
The times where I've been such a Riley is, well, unlike Riley, it was more just everyone kind of figured out what gay was and just sort of looked at me mm-hmm. and went, huh. That might be what that is.
Yes.
And I went, hey, no, it's not. Shut up.
Remember in drama class when Ricky was like pestering you, asking if you were gay? And you were like, you just like were shrugging. And he was like, please, I need to know. And you were like, she doesn't even know. And you pointed at me and I was like, I don't even know. Because I didn't.
What?
You don't remember this?
No, it's all coming back to me. Wait.
Yeah.
I was really funny.
You were. It was really funny. Because I remember.
I remember this because Nicole Jackson also was freaking out about
it. Yes. And I was like, I remember this specifically because this was the first time you had acknowledged your sexuality to me or in yeah. front of me. And so like we had known each other for a few months at this point and yeah. we were very good friends in drama class. And so I was always kind of like, he's probably gay, but like whatever, it doesn't. It. Yeah. And then when Ricky was pestering you and you were like, and you pointed at me and you were like, she doesn't even know. And I was like, I don't even know.
Like, right. I'm complicit.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, improv. Oh, yeah.
Never
came up.
I guess that was when I was such a Riley.
Yes.
When I was like, don't ask, don't tell, but I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. You asked, and guess what? I'm still not telling.
Because guess what? You don't need to know Ricky.
Yeah. I wonder where he's at now.
Jail, probably.
Probably, yeah. I could have seen him trying to become like a comedian.
Yeah.
But I don't think he had the likability.
Nah, he was just cute in high school.
That's yeah, he was pretty cute. I did have a small crush on him.
We all did.
Yeah, and I remember when he was asking if you're gay, and he was like, I promise it's not like a bad thing. It's not like I'm like, oh, you're gay. I just need to know.
Well, but because here's the thing. Now that I'm remembering, I know exactly what was happening. 14-year-old mm-hmm. me, big brain. I went, he's going to ask if I'm gay. He's going to ask if I think he's cute. So then he can, because he's trying to win mm-hmm. an argument with someone at a table of better people than me.
Yes.
And I'm not going to give it to him. Yep. I'm changing the game. Thank you for giving my answer. I love that.
Yeah, of course. It just came back to me, too. when's the time I was such a Riley?
When were you unable to make a single fucking decision?
Oh, you mean every day of my life? Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, I could always bring up the when I tried to talk to my mom about being bisexual and then she was like, no, we don't need to do that.
Actually, yeah, that's actually pretty yeah. that's pretty one-to-one, actually.
Because what happened was a friend of ours had told us that he is like bisexual. And then I was like, oh, and he told me this while I was at home from college with my mom in the room. And so naturally I freaked out because I was like, one of my closest friends that I've known for so many years at this point just came out to me. That's crazy. And I was like gasping and my mom was like, what? And I was like, this person is bisexual. And my mom was like, oh, is he breaking up with the girl he's with? And I was like, what? No, like, he's just bisexual. And she was like, yeah, well, like that doesn't, he could have like guy crushes, but that doesn't mean that, you know, he's bisexual. Like you have girl crushes. And this was at a time where I had a lot of girl crushes and I made them very vocal to my mom because I was warming her up to the idea.
Yeah.
Because I remember there was this one woman on American Idol who I was obsessed with and I just was like, that I'm in love with her. And I literally said those words out loud a lot. and I would see women at like the mall or at the gas station, I would be like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. Oh my God, her hair is gorgeous. That's I'm in love with her. My mom's like, girl crush.
Yeah, that was a very gay time of your life.
It was. And I kept trying to like to do it. And she was like, never hearing me. And then that day she was like, I mean, like you have girl crushes all the time. And my aunt was also there. And I was like, well, and I looked at my mom and she went, oh, we don't need it. No, it's fine. And my aunt goes, we're going to leave. We're going to go. Bye.
That's incredible. That's very one-to-one.
Yes. And my mom just like really, like I tried to talk to her afterward and she was like, la, 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 I don't need to hear it. I don't need it. And I was like, what? Like she thought, is as if she thought I was going to tell her like, well, I'm in college now and I did some experimenting. No, I was just telling her like, I find women attractive.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
But that's panicking.
It is. And she panicked really hard and we still haven't really discussed it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said the words to her. Like I remember I told her a woman hit on me in a Target one time and she was like, oh, and I was like, yeah, I mean, she was cute. If I weren't dating Ezra, maybe. And my mom was like, she didn't ask any questions. So it looks like we're on a don't ask, don't tell situation.
Meanwhile, my parents were, they prepared. They were
yes.
Ready.
They looked at you and went, ooh.
Look, when I was around two, they were like, all right, it's pretty clear what's going on. It's
pretty.
Well, I was running around with a red t-shirt over my head mm-hmm. at the top of my lungs part of your world.
Yes.
Like. They got it.
Yep.
They were hip in the 90s. They knew what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we did it.
We did it.
We did Riley.
Oh, we did it.
We crossed Riley off of our to-do list.
Wow.
I'm so proud of us.
That was hanging like the sword of Damocles.
It really was.
Over our head.
And wow, now we're really going to have to like schedule these episodes.
Christ.
And we're going to have to like get into the meatier characters now. Because we're about to hit Anya, Sav.
Oh my God.
And all of them.
Do you know who's coming next?
Well, Zane has to be next.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, we did it.
We did it.
Wow, I'm proud of us. Is there anything else we need to be doing? This episode structure has such a different, has so fewer segments than the one I do with Ezra.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm missing something, but
No, we did it.
We did it. We did everything. We hit everything. Okay. Well then, where can the people find you on social media, Daniel?
At Danny Boy Herman across all platforms.
Yeah, and you can find me at OMG It's Key on Instagram and TikTok. And you can find the podcast on Instagram at Cuckoo Bananas Podcast. And you can email us at cuckoobananaspodcast@gmail.com. Next week, I will have an episode recap with Ezra. And it will be on season 4, episode 14? 13? 14?
You better get that right.
One of them, and it's Bark at the Moon, which is exciting.
Oh.
It's me, Manny, and Spinner.
Yeah.
And Ezra was like, oh, Manny and Spinner are going to get together. There's no way. And I was like,
oh my God, wow.
I'm so excited. Yeah, so now we can finally let Ezra out of the closet. Out of the closet, like Riley.
Yeah. Come out, hockey boy.
Come out, hockey boy. You're... But yeah, so we're done recording and we're gonna go get dinner.
Fuck yeah.
Woo, woo, woo. All right, thank you guys for listening.
Bye-bye.